You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin.
Guys making the right read. I thought we were quick to drive it. I thought we were quick to attack and then attack and share it. You know, sometimes, you know, when you don't do that, you know, particularly against a zone, you become stagnant. The ball, the shots, the rhythm of them aren't as good. And you got to make shots to you know, to get 42 assists. You got to make shots. And the guys were great tonight, you know, on that equation.
Yeah, that was the eye-popping number of the night, 42 assists for the Bucks. It is that and the 7 blocked shots from Brook Lopez. I think what's even more impressive is the fact that 7 blocked shots is not a season high for Brook Lopez or a career high, that he had those 9 blocked shots against the Brooklyn Nets just a couple of weeks ago. And we'll start there. I mean, we on this show, louder than anyone early in the season, were banging that drum for Brook Lopez to get some recognition. I mean, we mentioned, hey, could he be an all-star this year? And especially early going where, you know, Giannis took a lot on himself when he didn't have Chris Middleton, you didn't have Joe Ingles yet, you didn't have Pat Connaughton to start the season. And there was a lot of chatter over what's going on with Giannis. His efficiency is off. And then you looked at the guys on the floor with him and you saw, well, he's asked to do a lot. And the looks aren't quite as clean when you don't have guys like Chris out there consistently. How much Joe Ingles has really helped transform this offense as well. Brook Lopez and Drew Holiday have been so consistent this season. Drew finally got the recognition to go back to the All-Star game, but Brook Lopez has not gotten as much recognition as he deserves. He's starting to get some more now. We started that chatter to say, hey, he should be considered for an All-Star. He should be considered for Defensive Player of the Year. And now you're starting to hear more and more of, well, maybe Brook Lopez is the Defensive Player of the Year from people outside of Milwaukee and outside of Wisconsin. And tonight is one of those reasons why. 7 blocked shots, yet another double-double. And the other thing is 200, that'd be incredible, 181 blocked shots on the season for Brook Lopez. I point that out because that is a career high. The most blocked shots he has had in a season with 10 games remaining for Brook. Well, 9 games remaining for Brook, so the max he could play in is 80 games. But Brook Lopez has reached his high, most blocks in a season, 1 year removed from back surgery and well into his 30s. This has been the best season of Brook Lopez's career. We continue to point that out, and the numbers continue to back it up. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A great start to this road trip. It's going to be tough tomorrow as you go to Denver to take on the Nuggets. But most importantly, and this is exactly what you wanted in this game tonight, you needed to win, and especially when you saw that injury report, you know, when you looked at the standings and said, okay, it's a Utah team that probably has a lot more incentive to lose than to continue winning and reach the postseason. We mentioned that a couple of nights ago. When you got to look at the injury report and saw still no Colin Sexton, still no Rudy Gay, but to Jordan Clarkson out and no Lauri Markkanen, this is a game you definitely have to win. So it was important to win, but not only that, you wanted to win and if possible do so going away. That's exactly what the Bucks did as well. So 2 consecutive games where you win the game convincingly, and in doing so, you get quite a bit of time off for Giannis, for Chris Middleton, who didn't even play tonight, for Drew Holiday, Brook Lopez, all of that. So you are going to be as well rested as you can be for night 2 of a back-to-back tomorrow in Denver, and that should be a fun one between the Bucks and the Nuggets, the 2 top teams in their respective conferences. And as Dave mentioned as well, the last 4 MVPs have gone to Giannis and Nikola Jokic, and we expect to see both of those players on the floor tomorrow night in Denver. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Joe Ingles as before the game tonight. Coach Budenholzer did indicate not definitive yet on if Joe Ingles will miss night two of a back-to-back tomorrow. We know Chris Middleton sat this one out tonight. We expect him to play tomorrow. And before that game against the Spurs just a couple of days ago, he did leave the door open, he being Bud, for either Jay Crowder and or Goran Dragic to be back on the floor for the Bucks early in this trip as well. Now, with a team that has a tendency to be pretty ambiguous, early could be Monday when you go to Detroit to take on the Pistons. So who knows? But we are monitoring that as well to see when this team continues to move to 100% full strength. And that's the other takeaway is you continue to win these games. You continue to do so impressively. And we haven't seen a whole lot of what's going on with this lead. And why are the Bucks playing with their food, if you will? That's, for the most part, been cleaned up since this team was healthy. And I understand this is a rebuilding team. This is a team that was far from full strength in the Utah Jazz tonight. But you blew them out in a building where it has traditionally not been very kind to the Bucks. It had gone 2 decades prior to last year, 2 decades since the Bucks last won there. Now you won there 2 years in a row. And from start to finish, you blew out the Jazz, and you're still waiting on some guys who could be contributors in the postseason, definitely in Jay Crowder and a TBD on Goran Dragic. So that's the encouraging part here is this team, we've heard the chatter for the last couple of weeks. Grayson Allen said it to us the other day. They're focused on the one seed, and they have made that known. We're still focused on one game at a time, but we want that one seed, and that's what we're playing for. And it's very evident with the way that this team has played and that laser-sharp focus we've seen since Chris Middleton returned, for all intents and purposes. And now all of the numbers are starting to back that up as well. We'll get into some of those numbers and what we've seen from this team since Chris has returned, but the season as a whole, all these numbers, slowly but surely, have trended right to where you expect them to be for a team in contention for the NBA championship. And we continue to point it out every single night. We should have some type of partnership with PlayoffStatus.com. But we'll give you the latest on the Bucks' chances and odds to get that number one seed in the East. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. To join us tonight on Bucks Talk, those numbers, where the offense sits now after another big outburst tonight in Utah. We'll get you up to speed on that. And the latest in San Francisco between the Warriors and the 76ers. We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk.
Inside. Shot blocked. There's number 6 for Lopez. He blocks Abaji, and now Giannis going the other way. He takes it all the way in. Count that one with a foul. Giannis was fouled.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still...
Hustle, loyalty, and respect is what we saw tonight as... Those hustle plays, tracking down the offensive rebounds, the passes, the assists, respect for the opponent as the Bucks always have. I mean, they're loyal to that one seed. Big win tonight in Utah against the Jazz, 144 to less than 144. What was it, 144-116?
Yep.
Okay. 28-point road win for the Bucks in Utah, now off Denver to take on the Nuggets tomorrow night. Let's go to the phone lines and check in with Ricky in Honey Creek. You lead off the show. What's going on, Ricky?
Hey, man. Another win here for the Bucks. It's always a nice thing to call in. And I just want to say, there's been a few times, you know, where people call in and say, man, Giannis needs help. And tonight he got that help. Pat Connaughton hitting 6 of 10 of threes. Scoring 20 points, and then you talk about Brooke Lopez. I mean, 7 blocks tonight. Three of them coming in the first 2 minutes of this game, which is, And then Grayson Allen starting out 4 of 4 of his threes. And then the Bucks hitting, 25 three-pointers tonight. And then having 42 assists tonight, which is an incredible number that they've not had for a while. So that's always good. But then there's also a couple of negatives in this game. Number one, way too many turnovers. I know teams are going to have turnovers, but Bucks just had way too many. Kept Utah Jazz in for like the first half. But once he got past halftime into the second half, the Bucks took a big lead and never looked back. And then Giannis struggling again from the free throw line, making 3 of 6. Again, he just needs to get better at that. And looking forward to tomorrow when the Bucks play against Denver. And hopefully Crowder and Dragic can come out there and hopefully we can see the Bucks win another one.
A lot of good points there, Ricky. 13 turnovers tonight, though. I mean, you had more turnovers than Utah, but pretty good job. I mean, that's right around their season average. It could have been a lot more problematic, and we've mentioned this quite a few times. Turnovers, points off of turnovers more specifically, and then those offensive rebounds and what you do with them, those are the companions to comebacks. You caught a bit of a break in that you were knocking down a lot of threes because 20 offensive rebounds at the Jazz turned into 24 second chance points. It's been a category on the stat sheet we have been keeping our eye on and saying, look, it's got to improve, especially into the playoffs. You can't be giving up some of those offensive rebounding rates that the Bucks have recently. You got to improve your defensive rebounding. For the most part, we've seen it, but you still have some of those performances like tonight that creep up on you just a little bit. So that's one of those things. File away, fine-tune it, keep an eye on it. To his point, turnovers, too. They've done a much better job, though, of cleaning up their turnovers, again, since this team has gotten healthy. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. And with this game tonight, with those numbers in the books now, your Milwaukee Bucks, not only 53 wins and 20 losses, most wins in the league, fewest losses in the league, they currently have an offensive rating of 114.1, which is good enough for 15th in the NBA, and this is within striking distance of the top 10. That's what we've said from the start. When this team was down to 22nd and 24th, I believe, was the low mark earlier in this season, is, look, this team isn't going to be where they were last year offensively. Not having Chris for a bulk of this season certainly has a lot to do with that. They're not going to be a top three offense. If you can get inside the top 15, if you could even crack the top 10, great. Because, oh, by the way, their defense, which has been right around the top in the league for all of this season, right back into the top spot, 109.6 defensive rating. So they're 15th in offense, first in defense, and now fourth in net rating at 4.5. Those net rating numbers are among the lowest we have seen in decades for the lead. Boston Celtics are back up to top spot in net rating at 6. The Cavaliers are just behind them at 5.7. But the top four teams reside in the Eastern Conference. Four of those five, top five in the East, as the Memphis Grizzlies, the lone Western Conference team in that group, also at 4.5. But the Celtics, the Cavs, the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Grizzlies, those are your top five teams in terms of net rating. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. How these numbers look since January 23rd, we'll give you that and the latest, courtesy of our friends at Playoff Status. We will dive into that as well. More importantly, it is about to go final out in the Bay Area. And this is shaping up to be very, very good news for the Bucks as we keep talking about that magic number. They may get some help here in the closing seconds. We'll get you up to date on that score as they're in the final minute between the Golden State Warriors and the 76ers. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk. Over two decades, they keep the margin at three in the loss column against the Boston Celtics, or above the Boston Celtics, I should say, who did win tonight, beating the Indiana Pacers. And more importantly now, they are 12 seconds away from making that a four-game margin over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Warriors lead it by seven with just over 10 seconds remaining. It almost to a T. Exact same script that we saw between the Bucks and the Warriors a couple of weeks ago out in the Bay, where the Bucks had that lead and you felt very comfortable going into that final minute. Now, granted, that was an overtime game, but man, this almost exact same scenario. The Sixers were up late in the third quarter. They were up all the way down to the final minutes here of the fourth quarter. Warriors tied it with 2.5 minutes left, and they have led ever since. So something about the Warriors at home that just makes them unbeatable virtually. So the Bucks now 10 seconds away from a four-game lead over the Philadelphia 76ers. 855-616-1620. The old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us on Bucks Talk tonight. And with that, I you know what? We'll get to the latest odds in just a moment here, but since January 23rd, the Bucks are now 23-3. Most wins in the league since that date, fewest losses in the league since that date. The team with the second most wins since January 23rd, the Philadelphia 76ers, who are about to be 19-8. So 4.5 games back of the pace that the Bucks have been at for the last, two months. Boy, time is flying by here. 118.1 offensive rating for the Bucks in that time frame. That is sixth best in the league. Their defensive rating of 108.6 is not only better than their overall season average, it's number one in the league. And a full point per 100 possessions better than the second place, believe it or not, Chicago Bulls. Their net rating of 9.5 is tops in the league. 1.5 points per 100 possessions better than the second place 76ers, or Cavaliers. 2 points per 100 possessions better than the 76ers, who are third. They have been an absolute juggernaut since Chris Middleton returned, winning 23 of their 26 games. Joe Ingles has been a big part of that. We talked about this after the Spurs game. What Joe Ingles has been doing since that time frame as well. A special night tonight for Joe Ingles, too, by the way, who returned to Utah, where he started his NBA career, a bit of a late start, playing in the NBL for all those years over in Australia. But Joe Ingles came to Utah as a 27-year-old, summer league and sometime with the Clippers before fully catching on with the Jazz, and that's where he carved out his career. You know, we talked about the Bucks having so much difficulty winning in Utah all of those years. Go back a couple of years. Bud's first year here, or second year here, I beg your pardon. 2019, when the Bucks went on that 18-game win streak, well, what preceded that win streak was a loss in Utah where Chris Middleton had that up and down travel turnover in the corner. Joe Ingles hits a buzzer beater opposite end of the floor in the corner to win the game. After that, the Bucks won 18 straight games. Joe Ingles, a guy that has made those types of plays all throughout his career, seen a lot of playoff basketball. Joe Ingles has been a big difference maker so far for the Bucks, and I know there were a lot that were very down on this signing at the time that it happened, of using your mid-level exception for Joe Ingles. I can't say I was overly psyched, I wasn't in the camp of, man, this is such a bad move, as it seemed like we saw a majority of Bucks fans. You know, you look back at Bobby Portis, another move that not a whole lot of Bucks fans loved initially. Pat Connaughton, another one, when the Bucks re-signed him going into the championship season. That was another one of, that's a lot of money for Pat Connaughton. I'm not saying John Horst has 100% success rate here, but he has more hits than misses. And for Joe Ingles specifically, we keep pointing to January 23rd. And a couple of weeks ago, we went through the standings by date and said, you know, last year, when was the turnaround for the Boston Celtics? January 23rd, 2022 was when the Celtics woke up that morning below 500. They won. They went on that run. What the Bucks are doing now, January 23rd and on, is greater than what the Celtics did a year ago. And you know, Joe Ingles has played 25 games since then. He is clearly more comfortable with his team. He is clearly very in sync with his teammates. He said after the game against the Spurs, he spent a lot of time talking about it, knowing full well a lot of questions were going to be around, hey, what's it going to be like to go back to Utah? But he said, you know, it's kind of a learning curve for me, too, because first and foremost, I think most of us were surprised at how quickly Joe Ingles was back on the floor. He wasn't. He was surprised he wasn't himself December 19th. He passed all these checkpoints to get back on the floor in rapid time after tearing his ACL on January 30th. And now he's back 11 months later, 10 months later. But he had said, look, I thought I cleared all these checkpoints. I was going to be the guy I was the last couple of years. And it took me some time to get those reps, to get back up to speed, and to really be 100%. I think that passes what we saw with the eyeball test. It took a little bit of time in the early going for Joe Ingles, but now he's there. And again, that January 23rd date, since that day, Joe Ingles is shooting 45% on threes, making two per game on his 4.5 attempts. And I heard it on the broadcast tonight. I'm going to have to bring it up to him tomorrow, but I did hear the 7-Eleven reference that was used by Dave Kane without any expressed written consent of yours truly. But there is that connection between him and Brook Lopez, and it started about a month ago when you just saw that two-man game between Joe and Brook and that pick and roll, that screen and roll. It's so tough to defend with those two guys, obviously because of their size, Joe Ingles' passing ability, and when he's shooting 45% on his threes, Joe Ingles' shooting ability. We've seen everything we've gone over in detail from Brook Lopez. He is so good and so much better than you would think as a creator and as a guy making tough shots, at least this year, what we've seen from him. So you've got to stick with Brook Lopez when he's rolling to the rim, and then you can't leave Joe Ingles open when he's shooting 45% on three. So that's a big reason why that connection has been so good from that duo so far this season. And look, I'm going to say this once more. Last year, I know Chris Middleton's injury was a big part of it, but when you see where this team was in terms of their depth, and the last 2 years for that matter, as great as it was to win a championship, and as much as we remember that as, man, that team was so good. They were. Giannis was very, very good. Jrue Holiday was incredible. Chris Middleton was great to close out the Atlanta Hawks, a 40-point game in the NBA Finals. You had great performances. You were not deep. You didn't have a whole lot of, it's probably going to come off much more harsh than it's intended to, but you didn't have a whole lot of trustworthy playoff guys that you knew, regardless of the opponent, regardless of the way they're playing, the matchups, doesn't matter. We trust these guys can play against any lineup on the floor. And maybe four of those guys? You were seven players deep for all intents and purposes. It was your starters, and then it was Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton off the bench. I mean, I saw countless complaints of why is Bud playing some of these guys? Elijah Bryant, remember him playing some minutes against the Brooklyn Nets and against the Atlanta Hawks? Jeff Teague, our old pal, the complaints of why is Bud playing Jeff Teague? Well, look up and down the roster you had. I mean, that was kind of one of the negotiations you made in the offseason when you brought in Drew Holiday. You knew, hey, we're not going to be quite as deep, but our starting five is much better than it was a season ago, and that really showed in the postseason. You were not deep at all. Last year, you thought you added a little bit of depth. That changed, though, with the injury to Chris Middleton. And, you know, we talked about this, what, after the game against the Spurs a couple of nights ago. When you look up and down the minutes played in that Boston Celtics series to see Wesley Matthews and Pat Connaughton and Brook Lopez, all of those guys, third most minutes played, right around the same amount of minutes. Absolutely astounding to think that's what your depth came down to. That Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews, Pat Connaughton, and Brook Lopez were all neck and neck and neck and neck for your third most minutes played in that series. If you can stay healthy, and that is a big if, we learned it last year, that is not even going to be close to being the case this year because of the depth that this team has. You trust Giannis in any situation. You trust Drew Holiday. I think we've seen enough in the past to trust Chris Middleton. You trust Brook Lopez, especially with the personnel you have around him, and now you've added to the mix guys like Joe Ingles, like Jay Crowder, Goran Dragic. Assuming he's healthy going into the playoffs is a really nice insurance policy to have. Javon Carter continues to shoot the lights out. You've seen big performances from Pat Connaughton in the past. The big difference is it's not pinning your hopes on, all right, this guy better be good. This guy better hit it off the bench because you've got a lot more depth surrounding those big names this year. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank Talk and text line. If you want to text into the show or join us tonight on Bucks Talk, quite a few texts trickling in. We will get to those and take a look at the latest odds after this on Bucks Talk.
Passes off to Portis, gets it back now in the corner. He'll try to answer as he does. Drew Holiday cans the three from the right side as Milwaukee needed that one, a Michelob Ultra three to get it back to an 8-point advantage on that shot.
All right, the Bucks win tonight in Utah, taking down the Jazz, and the 76ers lose in San Francisco against the Warriors. So, Philly is now 49-24, the Celtics are 51-23, and the Bucks are 53-20. 3 games up in the loss column on the Celtics, 4 games up in the loss column on the Sixers. That loss is very big, and it's even bigger if you can win in Denver tomorrow, because the Bucks can get the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Celtics. They cannot get the head-to-head tiebreaker in terms of the win-loss season series against the Sixers. They can only tie them. So adding one more game and making this 4 games that separate you with 9 games left is huge. When if Philly would have continued to hang around there, if they win that game on April 2nd, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker, and that essentially makes 3 games 2. So a big, big result tonight out in California and Utah, for that matter, with the Bucks winning and the 76ers losing. The very, very latest results and our projections here from our two sites that we have tended to frequent here this season, the 538, which last year, in fairness and credit to them, they were the first to be on the Boston Celtics train. This was the first site that was saying, hey, by the numbers, this Celtics team is the best in the league. This is the Celtics team that is going to end up winning the Eastern Conference. And that started in January when the Celtics ascent began. But even then, we're talking about an ascent going from 10th to 7th to 6th to 4th, where you're still like, the 4th seed of Boston, like, that's who you have winning the East? They were on it early. As of this moment now, at 53-20, they have the Bucks projected to finish 59-23 with the best record in basketball. They have the Celtics projected to finish 57-25, and they have the Sixers projected to finish 54-28. So your top three would be Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers in that order. Cavaliers, we essentially know, are going to be the four seed. They're too far back of the Sixers, and they're too far in front of the New York Knicks to lose any ground there. So you know Cleveland is going to be the four seed. It's a matter of them waiting to see, is it going to be the Heat? Is it going to be the Knicks? Very slim scenario, it could be the Brooklyn Nets. But the projections by the 538 have your six playoff teams in the East: the Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Cavs, Heat, and Cavs, Knicks, and Heat in that order. Those would be 1 through 6. So you would have a Heat-Sixers first-round matchup, Cavs-Knicks, and the Bucks and Celtics would wait on the play-in tournament results. Playoff status, our other favorite one. With this win tonight, the Bucks now have an 84% chance of clinching the one seed. And we mentioned it was important for the Bucks to see Philadelphia lose. The other thing to keep an eye on is Philly does not have the head-to-head against the Celtics. So them losing, even more potentially drastic, knowing you're a game back in the loss column, game and a half overall, but you don't have that head-to-head tiebreaker. And it's starting to look more and more like the 76ers are going to settle into that three seed in the East. Now, we said all along the goal was to get that one seed and let Philly and Boston take care of each other in the second round. I've gone back and forth on this. Philly's not a great matchup for the Bucks. I would still pick the Bucks to win in a playoff series just because we have seen that group do it before and just because Giannis is the best player in the league. I do think we've started to pour a little too much dirt on the Celtics, though. And what we saw, I know it was night 2 of a back-to-back, but what we saw against the Sacramento Kings and what you saw tonight, too, a basically dominant blowout against the Indiana Pacers, who may not be overly incentivized to reach the postseason, but they still have a chance to get into the play-in tournament. Boston just took care of them from start to finish. It does seem as though they've gotten it out of their system, and they're moving closer and closer towards that team we saw earlier in the season. They're still going to be a dangerous team. So with that in mind and knowing you got to deal with Joel Embiid, James Harden's been pretty good this season. I know we don't like him, but he's been pretty good this season. So is Tyrese Maxey. Let those two teams take care of each other and just avoid that mix altogether. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight. A lot of praise for the balanced attack for the Bucks on the play-in tournament team. No team can beat the Bucks when they play like this. Matt from Maquanago. Something important that he pointed out as well. Pat Connaughton tonight, exactly what I've been hoping to see from him. He'll be crucial in a playoff push for the Bucks if he's hitting threes. And that's the thing that we talked about just a couple of minutes ago. Whatever you get from Pat Connaughton is the icing on the cake now, because you've added a guy like Jay Crowder and Joe Ingles. Without those two guys, a lot of pressure on Pat Connaughton, because he's going to be the small ball four and he's going to have to hit those threes. Not necessarily the case now, but it's still good to see Pat Connaughton start to hit some shots, and hopefully he can piece together some big games like this.
Do you think they have more faith in Grayson this year than they did last year?
Who is they?
The Bucks themselves. Obviously, we talked about it, I think it was, last night or a couple nights ago. Grayson kind of had to play a lot of minutes last year. When we did the numbers of the most played people, Pat was still above him. But don't you think this year we have a little more confidence in Grayson Allen to play more meaningful minutes?
Well, I don't know if the confidence necessarily has changed. with anything that would have to do with Grayson himself individually. It's what we talked about before, that it's just like, okay, he doesn't have to play heavy minutes and we have more depth. We can pick and choose how we use him.
Sure, his role is better defined this year than last year.
And just having Chris Middleton out there is, look, it's not, hey, Grayson, sorry, man, you're going to have to take Jaylen Brown here, or you're going to have to take Marcus Smart.
Right,
you have
right.
more options to throw out there. So that's been huge, too. And, a lot of votes here, at least on the text line, for Brook Lopez as the defensive player of the year. And I haven't checked in the last day, but I do believe Brook Lopez may be the front runner out in the desert now for the defensive player of the year. So we will take a look at that. We'll preview a big matchup tomorrow with the Denver Nuggets, but suddenly, it's not to say that you don't have that urgency. Suddenly, going 1-1 in these two games isn't quite as bad with the results out in California tonight between the Sixers and the Warriors. We'll take a look at that. We'll see if we can get the latest odds on the defensive player of the year and wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
All right, right now the money is on Brook Lopez. I am looking at the latest odds for 6 different sports books. Brook Lopez has the best odds to win the defensive player of the year in all of them.
Gamble responsibly.
Well, I mean, you don't have to gamble on it. It's not gambling
where you're
if you win.
Your stuff, so I just want to make
gambling
sure.
Gambling if you win. But yeah, Brook Lopez, the leader now. Jaren Jackson Jr. is second in most of these. Then you have Bam Adebayo and then Giannis. Bam Adebayo and Giannis basically even odds, but Brook Lopez just in front of Triple J for the best odds to win the Defensive Player of the Year award. It's going to happen. 7 more block shots tonight. 2.55 blocks per game this season is the most he has averaged in his career. 181 blocks so far this season is the most he has recorded in a season. Still has 9 games left. And this is a Bucks team that shows no signs of slowing down right now. They are focused on the one seed, and they got a big matchup tomorrow in Denver against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. One last point on the 538. The Bucks, according to the 538, we mentioned 59-23 is their projected record. 34% chance of making the NBA Finals, according to the 538. That is the largest. The Memphis Grizzlies have a 31%. That is second best. And a 22% chance of winning the finals. That also the best odds of any team out there. The Boston Celtics, the second best odds at 18%. So things are starting to trend nicely here for the Bucks. Tomorrow night in Denver to take on the Nuggets, another 8 o'clock tip. 7:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And oh, by the way, some big games on the schedule tomorrow. The Nets and the Miami Heat in a tussle for play-in tournament potentially seeding. And the Sixers also on night 2 of a back-to-back. They're in Phoenix against the Suns. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow night with more Bucks Talk.